make your word, Lord, your written word, a living word to us. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, overshadow, Lord, my weakness. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. I've been thinking of a name of it was Praying Shapes Believing. The whole idea really simply was pretty much centered around the Lord's Prayer, that you continue to pray a certain way, it'll shape your believing, right? True, but I think there's a flip side of that too. It's really important. The other side of the coin, that believing shapes the way you pray, right? A few verses here. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Confidence there, use that verse a lot in ministry, right? You think you have to do something or go somewhere to be anointed, right, or confidence. But the anointing comes from Him. I mean, he's the anointed one, right? That gives you confidence in ministry. I remember years ago just feeling so inadequate in the type of ministry that I do, and it wasn't really a feeling, it was a reality. And I remember Jesus saying, when Isaiah prophesied about the coming of Jesus, one thing he said that he is, you know, he would be a wonderful counselor, mighty God, eternal. And he said that to me, Craig, I'm a wonderful counselor. You just plug into me, and I'll show you what I know what this person needs. You know, I'll show you what they need, and then you can be the body through which I minister to them. Really set me free, right? My confidence has to be in Him, not in my ability. These are just a couple of verses in Ephesians that are very familiar to us. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through Him, we have our access in one Spirit to the Father. And in chapter 3, this was in accordance with His eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith. Actually, it's through faith of Him, which I like. That's the better translation. In accordance with His eternal purpose, which He carried in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have now boldness and confident access to the Father through Him, by faith of Him. Right? Okay? The faith of Jesus. We talk about that a lot, of us being in union with His faith. Just centered on these next few verses of this word, confidence. Because if you don't believe that you have confident access to the Father through Jesus, through His faith, right, then you will probably not pray, but when you do, you'll pray very sheepishly. The whole time, just in your mind, being attacked with, you know, you haven't prayed enough or you hadn't been there. You know, all these things that the enemy attacks us with. Our weaknesses, our failures, all these things, right? That will keep you kind of cower down before the Father. Because then what we really believe in is we're believing in our ability or our works that gives us this access to Him. We all know that, but we just have to hear this. I have to hear it over and over again. This is out of Hebrews 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast this confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10, really good one. Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, with this full assurance or full confidence of faith, already having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Over in 1 John here, and the word confidence actually comes from two Greek words put together. One meaning all, And a statement with bold resolve, all with bold resolve, like just total, use the word confidence again, but like total faith, total assuredness, just that you're there and that whatever God, whatever you're going to pray, God hears your voice and that he's going to act on your behalf. And there's no swaying, there's nothing to sway you from that. You have such, you have his ear, you have such access to his presence. Like Esther, when she went before the king, right? She had great favor, and he was like, yeah, whatever you ask, I'll do it. You know, that's a great picture of the believer, of us, before the Father at all times. And this is what John says, using that same word in the Epistle of John. And Bishop's been using this scripture lately. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, then we'll have confidence before God. And whatever we ask from him, because we keep his, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Again, I want to read two verses above that. We know this, that we are of the truth, and will have our and will assure our heart before him. If our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn you, you'll have confidence before God. Bishop's been talking about condemnation a lot, how a doubt, which just means, you know, self-condemnation, how that will hinder our access to God, right? If I'm entertaining condemnation or from myself, or I'm entertaining condemnation from the enemy, it will affect the way I pray. It will affect the way I approach the Lord in my prayer, if you can use that word approach. He's saying if our heart, if there's no condemnation there, and our heart doesn't condemn us, then we know that whatever we're praying, not only does God hear us, but he has granted us that request. This is in chapter 5. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. What a powerful scripture there. This is the confidence we have before God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we've asked, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. I mean, I just can't tell you, you know, when the Lord just begins speaking this to me, how it changed my my prayer life. Not just understanding and knowing that I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and we're already at the right hand of the Father. That is true about you and true about me, right? But we have total access to his ear just because of Jesus, not because of anything you've done, because Jesus paved the way. I mean, you're there, just if you can imagine yourself, the Lord speaks to me in pictures, yet you're, Jesus is seated there next to the Father, and you're seated in Christ. You're seated with him, and the Father's looking over at you, and you can talk to him. And anything you ask, it says. Jesus started talking about that in the upper room discourse. And, you know, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. And that doesn't mean that at the end of our prayer we say, in Jesus' name. That's what I believed for years. Like, we got to put that on there. Like, oh, I forgot, in Jesus' name, let it. When you pray in Jesus' name, that literally means you're praying as though you are Jesus. I know we know we're not Jesus, but we're in him. And when we pray, the Father hears us just like he would hear Jesus. Jesus had access, right? He had the Father's ear, so do you. You have that same access. The problem is, you and I, we don't have the confidence of that, the reality of that truth. Because if that were really true, we would just be, we'd be there all the time, right? I mean, right now, we're seated there. Right now, we have the Father's ear. Right now, we can pray. And there's, well, how do you know if you're praying the Father's will? Well, Jesus said, if any man wants to know the will of God, he'll know it. And we're praying, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the Holy Spirit's job, if you go back and read Romans chapter 8, and that the Holy Spirit's praying through us, right? Two words for intercede there means to get you in line with God's heart. The Holy Spirit's job is to get me in my prayer life in line, and the other one means to hit the target. One, intercede to get me in line. The second one means to hit the target. So by the Holy Spirit, right, is my prayer guide. He directs me into praying God's will perfectly for our lives. Okay? Let it change you today. Know that, and what we have to repent of, you know, just about everything we have to repent of is one thing, and it's called unbelief, right? I use this illustration all the time in ministering to people in counseling, you know, because they may have, you know, we always use anger. So, you know, anger is always the fruit, never the root. Anger's like, say you have an apple tree. That apple on the end of that tree is your anger. Well, I can't get rid of the anger by picking the apple, right? I'm going to grow back. Well, anger is usually tied into control. That's kind of the limb, right? I get angry because things get out of my control. So I can cut the limb off. Still, it's going to grow back, right? Well, usually control is tied into fear. I want to control a situation because it makes me afraid. Or I'm fearing things will get out of control, so I'm just trying to control them. And because I can't, it makes me angry. But fear is tied into unbelief. The truth is, I'm just not believing God in this situation. Whether that He loves me, that He, you know, is going to do this for me. Just all kind of, just so mainly what we deal with in life, you can narrow it down to just a couple of things. Mostly it's pride. Pride is not being able to receive what God has done on the cross for me, right? And unbelief. So if I don't have confidence and I don't feel that confident access, or I don't believe I have that, then confess your unbelief, because it's true, right? Just like the guy prayed, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's a good prayer. That's a good place to start. Lord, I believe I have this access to you, but I need you to help my unbelief. And you know what? He'll do it. He'll show you. He'll encourage you with it. And I just love that, because we can come boldly before the throne of grace to receive grace, all that Jesus is, all that He has, and receive mercy in our time of need, right? Okay. So sometime today, use your access card. You got it. And the access card said, you got the Father's ear. What do you need? And use it. Amen? Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. I think we're supposed to do that after every sermon, too, I guess. That seals the deal.